Chapter number 41, beginning of a new year on Wednesday nights. We're going to begin a series, and the series is going to be actually in the book of Psalms. And that sends a lot of different, just to me, a lot of exciting things, but also a couple of little things that makes me a little concerned. Number one, if we do one chapter a week, that's about 3 years worth of preaching and teaching. So that's we don't know if it's going to make it all the way through for all 3 years, but we know this is where the Lord wants us to start. I know that when I first became the pastor in this first couple of years at the beginning, we had done a couple portions of Psalms, but never did an extensive study. We looked at Psalms 119 extensively. But we're going to start here in Psalms. You say, why are you in chapter number 41? Well, we'll get there. So we'll get there and help you understand, explain that a little bit. I'm really looking forward to the study. And one of the main reasons why I'm looking forward to the study is because it's some people's go-to book. You say, what do you mean by go-to book? Well, I don't know about you, but when I get discouraged or when I need some help or when I'm feeling down, I go to the Psalms. And if you would do some studying and looking at those different things and understanding, if you don't have a book that you go to, if you don't go to the Bible, I can understand, well, I go to a person or I go to music and things like that. But the Psalms is filled with so much. And I've heard a number of preachers and other people give that same testimony that is the book that they turn to during difficult times. And last year, I heard a preacher who was going through a really hard time saying, I'm living in the Psalms. And the reason why is because it's a place of rest. It's a place of help. It's a place of encouragement. It's a place where you can see the presence of God. And tonight, we're going to do a little bit of an introductory study. So instead of just jumping right into the book, I'm looking forward to Psalms chapter 1 next week. Great book of the Bible. And I'm not going to be here on a Wednesday night in February. I asked Mr. Barry to help us preach, and he's actually going to preach that chapter that's next. So we're going to try to take one chapter a week. Even when we get to Psalms 119, we're going to try to do only 1 week. But that's 2 years from now. Who knows what the world's going to be like in 2 years from now, and where we're going to be at, or any of those different things. So we'll face that when we come to it. But Psalms chapter 41 is where we're going to start. The title in the Hebrew means praises or a book of praises. The title in Greek gives the idea of an instrumental type of company, a praise. It actually has 150 psalms. Most of us would say we know that. It has pretty much every range of human emotions found in it. The book shows us that no matter what we're going through, we can turn to the Lord. And I think maybe that's why the Lord's left it here for 2024, because we go through a lot of things. Everybody's going through some type of difficult time. How we respond to it all looks different. You're going to see a lot of different responses, a lot of different things that happens here. It actually helps us get into the presence of God. Now, there's conversations, so like anything that comes to the Bible, Bible scholars and other people say, well, who wrote the Psalms? Which ones? David is known for writing over 70 of the Psalms. Korah's known, or sons of Korah, known for writing 11 of them. Asaph is known for writing for 12 of them. Solomon's known for writing 2 of them. Ethan 1, Heman 1, Hezekiah 10. Even Moses wrote one. And there's probably about 39 different ones that have never been assigned an author. So the anonymous or even orphanic type psalms that are there. So it's kind of interesting. So we'll probably want to highlight every time that there's a writer. And you could look at the psalms different ways. You could do it according to grouping it together. And it's an interesting study doing it by who wrote it. That's an interesting study going in maybe even like a chronological order. But we're going to take it chapter by chapter and do it the way the Bible has it laid out. And the reason why we're going to do that is because not everybody knows this, but there is 5 different books in the book of Psalms. 5 different books. It's broken up into 5 different books. If you have an old Scofield Bible, if you look at chapter 42, it'll actually say book number 1. At least it does in mine. There's a little inscription at the top, and over top of it says book number 1, book number 2, book number 3, book number 4, book number 5. It's broken down. Even some of the old Jewish rabbis used to call it the Pentateuch of David. And I had never heard that before, but I had heard it. I'd looked it up, and there's a number of different people who says that there's the Pentateuch of David. They call it the Genesis Psalms. It's found in Psalms 1 through 41, the Exodus Psalms, chapter 42 through 72, the Leviticus Psalms, 73 through 89, the Numbers Psalms, 90 through 106, the Deuteronomy Psalms, 107 through 150. And you say, well, why would they call that this way? And there's a parallel many times in those books, according to, and it's an interesting study. We're not going to dive into it all. But in verses chapter 1 through 41, the parallels that goes along with the many times the key thoughts that are found in the book of Genesis or some of the key thoughts that are found in Psalms 1 through 41. One of the things I really like about that idea of breaking it apart is at the end of every single one of those sections, there's a blessing. It's kind of neat. Look what that's why we're starting Psalms 41, if you hadn't figured that out. Look what it says at the end of verse number, at the last verse. So Psalms 41 is the end of the first book or the first portion of it. Look what it says in verse 13. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. So here it is. You're looking at this and there's a blessing that's there. But here's the thing, is the blessing is not how are we going to be blessed? Because we find that, you know, chapter 1, verse number 1, supposed to say, blessed is the man that does this, this, and this, and that does not do this, this, and this. And this is what he's going to look like. This is what he's not going to look like. There's a lot of things found in the Psalms, but at the end of each of these broken down portions, there is a blessing, but the blessing is a blessing for us to bless the Lord. Because there's two different things. It's how God blesses, and we've just gone through the bless series. Obviously, you know, we have all these physical blessings. We've been spiritually blessed in so many ways. But the Bible tells us, and the book of Psalms tells us, bless the Lord. It means to praise the Lord. And that's when you look at this book, it's talking about the praises of the Lord. It's our directing of us praising him and us blessing the Lord. And so that's what you see here, chapter 41, verse number 13. We're going to go ahead and look at all the five different sections, look at all the different kind of like a doxology type thing. So take your Bible now to Psalms chapter 72. It's the second section is chapter 42 to 72, which would be considered the Exodus Psalms. And what do you see here at the end of verse 72? After they've gone through all these different things, at the end of chapter 72, the Bible says it starts in verse 18. And it says, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So you see here, what does it say in verses 18, 19? Bless the Lord. Hey, why should we bless him? And once again, you could preach through any of these verses. Who only doeth wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. So once again, you have this thought. We're going to try to tie it all in at the end. And have this thought. You're supposed to bless the Lord. This is what you're supposed to do. And this is what the Psalms help us do. They teach us how to bless the Lord. You ever been there and you guess, I don't know what to say when you pray? You want to rejoice in the Lord. You want to praise the Lord. You want to have that right perspective and that right mindset. I just don't know what to say. The Psalms is a wonderful thing that teaches us how to bless the Lord. Memorize some of those things. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I mean, there's psalm after psalm after psalm. You say, well, use the Bible. Give the Bible back. He'll be pleased with hearing his words of praise. So next one, the Leviticus Psalms is chapter 73 through 89. So go to chapter 89. Chapter 73 through 89. So chapter 89 has the next closing of the third book inside the book of Psalms. Leviticus Psalms, chapter 89. Look what it says in verse 52. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. It's, you know, praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Then you go to the Numbers Psalms, chapter 90, all the way through 106. Chapter 90 through 106. And chapter 106, look what it says in verse number 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. And so, I mean, so many times we think these are just little sayings. These are trite. No, these are praising the Lord. It's found. The word of God, all of it is inspired by God. And there's a purpose for it. So why do we see it over and over in the scriptures? It teaches us. It directs us. And this, if we would learn how to praise him, if you're going to truly have joy in your life, you're going to have to learn how to praise the Lord. True joy is going to want understanding who God is and learning how to praise him. And I think it's something that's missed many times. So the Deuteronomy Psalms, 107 to 150. known for really praising the Lord. So let's go to chapter 150. And chapter 150, if you know anything about chapter number 150, and what some would consider the hallelujah type chorus, or and it's found in verses 148, 149, and it goes back and gets 146. It gets over and over. It says that all throughout these last chapters, and many times actually throughout the whole Deuteronomy Psalms, but chapter 150 all begins with the word praise, except for verse number 6, but it says it at the end. Look what it says in the whole chapter. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, our music should be something that is, it should be God-honoring. And there's a lot of music out there today that is not God-honoring. But you listen to what these verses say. It talks about lifting praise to the Lord. It talks about praising the Lord. It even says, you know, it uses instruments inside of there. It uses the trumpet. It uses the psaltery and the harp. It even goes to timbrel. And when they're referring to dance, it's not the dance you see on MTV. I don't know if MTV is even around nowadays. When I was a teenager, MTV was a big deal. But that's not the dance you see, that it's completely different. And it's a form of praise, and praise him with stringed instruments and organs, and praise him upon, it even says loud cymbals. So I think it's okay if we actually sing loud, we rejoice. It's not, I mean, so many times it's trying to pull something out of somebody. That's not what truly praising the Lord is. You miss it. Now, once again, it shouldn't be worldly. It shouldn't be flesh driven. There should be a God center, God focus in that. And it's not teaching about music tonight, even though that's what the book of Psalms is a songbook. It says high sounding cymbals. But then it says in verse 6, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Everything that have breath. So in a few moments, we're going to have an invitation time. I know it's only 7:23, so it's going to be more than a few moments. But in a little while, take the time to praise the Lord. Even now, while you're sitting and listening, praise the Lord for something. And I'm not saying that when you pray, that's not your whole entire prayer time. But there is praise teaches us how to pray. Praise puts us in perspective. Praise is something that helps you get through hard times. Lester Roloff is known for saying, and I've heard preachers say it, that there are some things that you have to praise your way through because you can't pray your way through. Some things you have to praise your way through because you can't pray your way through. And sometimes life is hard, and sometimes life is tough, and sometimes there's a struggle and things are just not fair. And, you know, if you focus on that, even if you're just praying and pouring your heart out to God, that's one thing. I get that. I do that. I've done that. Even done that recently. God, what in the world is going on? Why are you letting this happen? Why are these things going on? But praising him, it helps us understand that when we pour out our heart, who we're going to. And you know, pouring out your heart to God is only going to get you so far. You got to lift your head. You got to let him lift your head. You cannot live in that spot that's down there. The Psalms start with blessing, a blessing for us. Blessed is the man. But the blessed life is truly those who learn how to praise God. And as we go through these Psalms, you're going to see that being an overwhelming theme, not in all of them. But you're going to see in there, we have a responsibility to bless the Lord. So let's go ahead and look a little bit at the first time. Actually, it's the second time. But the first time the word psalm is mentioned in the Bible. Go ahead and take your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. In 2 Samuel, we have the word psalmist mentioned. So, yeah, I don't want somebody to say, well, pastor, it's technically the second time. Well, psalmist is different than psalm. But in 2 Samuel 23:1, the Bible says, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who raised him up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, you see here that David is praising the Lord, rejoicing and bringing back the ark and all those different things that are going on. His wife despises him for it. And it says he gives it's the first psalm that is recorded. First Chronicles chapter 16, and it's during the festival there that is going on. There's just praise of thanksgiving that's happening. But the first time the word psalm is mentioned is verse number 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Aspa and his brother. Now, it's kind of interesting there that you see David connected with Aspa. To my knowledge, those are the two that wrote the most psalms that are recorded in the Bible. David's known for being over 70. At least it depends on who you speak to. It could be over 80. Some say under 70, but Aspa's known for writing 12. And that's where we break. It's kind of interesting that they're there together. And it's both mentioned the first time in Psalm. But let's read this praise for a little bit. We're not going to read it all, but it just, you know, how do you praise the Lord? How am I supposed to praise the Lord? I don't know what to say. Boy, you can learn it. Learn your psalms. Learn how to repeat these back. Learn to praise the Lord. Look at verse number 8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. So there's instruction here. It's, you know, thanking the Lord. Sing unto him, sing psalms. So we have the second time it's mentioned, unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Singing is something that praises the Lord. And our prayer time should involve a time of singing of hymns and psalms. And we're going to get to that in a little while. Glory ye in his name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done. He wonders in the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to us 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, have confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When you were but few, even a few and stranger in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. Yeah, saying, touch not my anointed. You know, you sit there and you read it and you read it and you read it. God was good to Israel. There's just so much that they could praise him for. And that's what David's saying. Now, once again, times have been tough. David's there. They're bringing the ark back. God's rebuilding the nation. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all ye the earth. Show forth a day to day of salvation. I like this next phrase. Declare his glory among the nation, among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. For all he also is to be feared above all gods. Psalms are things that we can learn how to praise the Lord. So here's a couple of things, and we'll look at this. I think God that really speaks to our heart through his word. He speaks to our hearts through psalms. That's why they're encouragement so many times. This is one of the purposes. God's word speaks to us. The psalms should speak to us. Think about it. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, how does it do all that? It's when it speaks to our heart. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said unto him, as written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God takes us then that we would take the Psalms and that we would use them. They are written so that way they can be used in every generation. You think about these psalms that are found back in the Old Testament. They were used as a sacred songbook in the nation of Israel. Even today, you have churches in the New Testament that would sing them. That's what does it say in James 5:18. It says, if any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. So there was an encouragement back then too. And even today, people use it sometimes. I know even Jewish people still use it in the synagogues. And today, even in churches, you'll sometimes hear them singing songs. This is a book that can minister to us in so many different ways. And so when you think about that first mention of the word psalm here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I want you to think about it. It helps us to talk to God. It helps us talk to God. And that's the whole thing here. He's like, well, what am I supposed to say? How can I bring glory to God's name? It's something that comes naturally as you love the Lord and as you spend time with him, as you understand his Psalms, you develop your own praises, you develop your own way of worshiping him. But these Psalms are wonderful. I mean, how many of these like that are familiar to us from this first Psalm? I know verse number 25, it says, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, is something that I've known and heard over the years. Declare his glory among the heathen. There is just much. Give thanks unto his name, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. There is much. It tells us an opportunity for us to speak to God. Once again, we're used to God's word speaking to us, and that's what we want. We desire that. But God wants us to take his word and learn how to speak to him. His Holy Spirit leads us and guides us that. But why in the world would he give us a psalm book? A song book that praises and worships him and encourages us to sing melodies and sing psalms. And we're going to see that in a second. In the New Testament, it tells us to do those things because this teaches us how to speak to him, teaches us how to speak to God. So when you don't know what to say, spend some time praising him. It changes your perspective on everything. Use the psalms to speak to your heart, yes, but also to speak to God. It teaches how to speak to God. Next thing I want you to do is take your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. So God uses his word in psalms to teach us how to speak to him. God also uses psalms for us to speak to ourselves. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter number 5. He said, speak to yourself. I don't think there's anything wrong with speaking to yourself. I know that you hear the joke. Sometimes people say, as long as there's nothing wrong with asking a question, as long as you don't answer it, you always answer the questions you ask yourself. The problem is if you ask yourself to speak up, that's when the problem starts. You know, he says, but talking to yourself, look what it says in Ephesians chapter number 5. It says, and be not drunk, verse number 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Okay, we all know this verse. What does it say? But be filled with the what? Spirit, right? That's where you're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Now, a person that's filled with the Spirit does what in verse number 19? Speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and? So it teaches us how to speak to God, but also teaches us how to speak to ourselves. Psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Love it. It's fantastic. And the idea that he tells us that the psalm is something, yes, we learn to praise the Lord, but he also says we speak to ourselves in songs, psalms, and hymns. You know, you encourage yourself with this. Like I said to you, you might have a different go-to book. I had a guy tell me the book he enjoyed too when he was going through a hard time. I like reading the book of Job. I'm thinking, wow, I get it, but it takes you a long time to get to the good part in Job 42. There's a lot of chapters there. There's a lot of misery, but I understand it, and I understood why. But Psalms, it lifts me up. It praises me. This week, I'm reading through the book of Psalms. At least that's my goal. I'm already at a certain spot at the beginning of the week. I have X number of chapters, got to read every day to get through it. I'm on track, but at the same time, it's... you know, it encourages me. It really does. But we learn to speak to ourselves. We're going to need to learn how to encourage ourselves. You're going to have to learn how to preach to yourself. Yeah, I know even you say women aren't supposed to be preachers. I get it. But you're going to have to learn how to preach to yourself. There are certain times when you're just going to have to learn to be able to say, you know what, the Lord is good. You can look in the mirror. You can get your preaching finger out if you want. You do whatever you want. But you need to preach yourself. I know oftentimes you preach the gospel to yourself. You were lost. You were a sinner. And Jesus loved you and he saved you. I tell you, that should get you excited and get you encouraged and get you, hey, I want to serve him. I was lost. I was headed to hell. I'm not there anymore. He saved me. You preach the gospel to yourself. You know what happens? You get encouraged. You learn to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I mean, that takes you away. Why am I wanting so much? Why does everything look so miserable? It says, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. He does those things. I mean, if you'll learn to encourage yourself with psalms and with hymns and with the word of God, what does it talk about? Remember when David, when they were talking about stoning him at the burning of Ziklag and all those different things, and the women and the children were gone and all their things. It says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughter. And it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encourages himself. How does he encourage himself? He encourages himself with the word of God that he had. He said, well, he didn't have a lot of word of God. I think he had a lot in his heart. I think all those psalms that are inspired and that were recorded, I don't think he knew which ones were going to be in the Bible. I don't think he got to choose that. Oh, that's a really good one. I think we should put it there. He doesn't do that. But he encourages himself. He encourages himself by going back and remembering, God helped me with Goliath. God helped me with Saul. God's brought me all this way. There's no way God's going to take me out right now. But when there's a guy standing over there that loves you and that has served with you and have fought for you, and he's holding a stone, you know, tossing it up and down. David, what are you going to do? Because we're getting ready to kill you unless you fix this. You know, David, what does he do? He encourages himself in the Lord. You learn to encourage one another. Yes, but you learn to encourage yourself. If you don't learn to encourage yourself, you know what's going to happen? You're going to live a pretty miserable life. If you're going to have to be that person that has to get picked up by other individuals all the time, you're going to end up being discouraged. Now, don't get me wrong, that we're supposed to encourage one another. We're supposed to, and that's going to be the next point. But we need to learn to encourage ourselves because of the fact that if we always got to be picked up, what happens when nobody's around? You're miserable. You're discouraged. You're overwhelmed. That's what the Psalms, that's what he says. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to be a person that's speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're going to be a person that's rejoicing. You say, well, I'm not that person. Then are you filled with the Spirit of God? Are you even seeking? I know people think it's some type of mystical thing. No, it's just completely surrendered to him. And he comes in, he takes over, he leads you, he guides you. And what does he do? He puts a song in your heart. He puts the psalms in your heart. And you learn to encourage yourself and speak to yourself. You know, Pastor, I'm not that praise and worship guy or that charismatic. I'm not a charismatic guy either. It's unbiblical what they do. But at the same time, the scriptures, and you're going to see in this book of Psalms, there is nothing wrong with being emotional. There's nothing wrong with having praise. There's nothing wrong with singing. There's nothing wrong with singing to yourselves. There's nothing wrong with rejoicing. There's nothing wrong with praising. We should not always be so downtrodden. We should not always be so discouraged. We should not always be in a way that God is not that first and foremost. I see people get excited about certain things, but do we get excited about God? Third thing is, not only does the Psalms teach us how to talk to God and talk to ourselves, the Psalms will help you how to learn how to talk to others. The Psalms will also help you to how to talk to others. One of the challenging things about studying the book of Psalms is there are so many great different people who have written about it. Obviously, God, the Holy Spirit of God, has written the Psalms, but you know, there is pretty much any pastor that has written things, have written the different things. So that's a challenge from knowing all those different things and getting to study through all those things. I'm excited about it. But also there's a time limits that are allowed. Like tonight's about talking to God and talking to others and talking to yourself is something that I've read after someone else. I didn't know about I knew about the divisions in there, but the blessed thing at the last verse, those are all things I learned from studying. And it's great. And it's wonderful. But the next one is, the Psalms will help you to talk to some others also. He's like, Pastor, I don't know how to talk to others. Let's look in here at Colossians. Colossians is not that far away. Colossians, you just go back a few pages. Colossians. Actually, I went the wrong way today. It's not back. Galatians is back. Philippians, Colossians. And now this is another familiar verse. Let's actually read it all together. Colossians chapter 3, look what it says in verse 16. Let's read it together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, what does it say? We admonish one another in what? Psalms and hymns. Isn't that great? I don't know what to say. Sing to them. Well, you probably don't want to sing to him. But you can imagine, you know, great is the Lord, worthy to be praised. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It says here to admonish him. Does it say somewhere there to go gossiping? It doesn't. The Bible says you shouldn't do that. Next week, when we look at Psalm chapter 1, the first thing it says, be careful who you let influence you. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. What are we supposed to be known for? And that's what it's saying here. It's a parallel and it's a sister type verse, and it's saying something similar. But the difference then from Ephesians is, do this for yourself. Now go and do this for somebody else. And this, you encourage somebody, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's amazing that people, when they come church, they miss it. They're more interested in other things. And they don't know what to say to other people. I've known somebody here recently that went through a little bit of a tragedy. And I know that I wanted to help. And I know somebody else wanted to help. And I said, what are you supposed to say? Tell them the word of God. And I'll go over there and preaching at them and, you know, encourage, admonish each other, one another with the word of God. You know, there's difficult things that people face. It seems like everybody's facing some difficult thing. And I'm not minimizing one. I'm not exalting another. But you can use the Psalms to others that are around you. And sometimes people's like, and we've heard people say this, and I think this is wise in a lot of ways. We've heard that saying, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything at all. And the reality is that's not a bad idea, because sometimes people say stupid things. They say things that aren't helpful. They say things that are hurtful. And if you're not being biblical when you say things, you should stay silent. And that's the truth. Saul, when he was telling David, hey, go take my armor, he should have just stayed quiet. And we don't like to hear that, because we want to help. We just don't know what to say. And sometimes it is just going there. What did Job's friends do? They went and sat with him silently. It's when they opened up their mouth, they started saying some dumb things. And so for us, what do we have to say? If we know the Psalms, if the Psalms are in our hearts, if we understand, praise ye the Lord, if you understand, I know somebody's there weeping and crying, and you're not going to go over there and say, praise ye the Lord, you know, and have a contest, a hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. No, the Spirit's going to lead you, but you can encourage them with this. You know what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you can talk about how he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. This might look like a tough path, but it's the path of righteousness. He says, got enemies all around me. And there's a bunch of times in the Psalms that talked about that. But he anointeth my head with oil. You know, what does he do in the presence of the enemy? He prepares him a table right in the presence. I got all these people who hate me. I got all these people who are saying these bad things about me. I got all these things that are happening. And you're like, what am I supposed to do? Give them the Psalms. Admonish them with the Psalms. The Psalms pretty much. Cover every single emotion that's known to man. Now, I know there's new creations of emotions, and there's all different types of different things that help people support things, and with medicines and animals and just different ways that they get soothing. Okay, great, wonderful. Admonish them with psalms and hymns. You're not going to be able to do that unless you know them. So my encouragement to you is to put the word of God in your heart. So that way you'll be able to, as the word says here, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts to them, which in verse number 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And so this, let the peace of God rule in it. Let the word of God be number one in your heart. Be thankful. And then when you're thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What does that mean? It actually is dwelling in you. It means it has taken residency in you. It means that you have hidden God's word in your heart. That way you might not sin against him, yes, but also you can have an avenue and be a channel of what God wants us to say and what God wants us to do. Many times we miss that. We don't even see it because we don't put God's word in our hearts, and we don't know how to admonish somebody with psalms and hymns because of the fact that we don't know them. And, you know, once again, music is something that's really rejoicing. It's great. And I love a lot of music today. I love our hymns that are there. But the psalms that are found in here, we should not. They are the very words of God. So that's something we should want to do. So when you don't have words, give them God's words. When you don't have words, give them God's words. Because it's going to take the attention away from you and what you said. Oh, that was really smart. Thank you. Yes, there's counsel. There's wise counsel, obviously. But when you give them God's words, it's taking the attention off of you and putting it on him. It's taking attention off of their issues and their problems and placing it on them. Yes, there is, even while walking in the shadow of death, meaning that it could happen at any moment, at any time, I'm still not going to fear any evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see how that could be an encouragement by admonishing someone with that? And you sit there and you listen. I've sat inside hospital rooms before, and somebody says, I just want you to read the Bible. And, you know, the one, because they're sick or different things, can't read. And I sat there and just read passages of Psalms before. Ask them, hey, what's your favorite Psalms? And sometimes people have their favorite Psalms. Some people say Psalms 1. Some say Psalms 23. Some say Psalms 119. I tend to enjoy Psalms 37, but after doing a study through Psalms 119, that it really competes with one another. But there's just Psalms that are there. Don't just read them. Don't just listen to them. Put them in our hearts and let God speak to your heart through them. But also speak to God with them. But also speak to others with them. Use the Psalms to speak to others. So I'm excited about it. 3 years of Wednesday night sermons, that's a little bit challenging, so I'm not promising that. The only thing I know is that next week we're starting with Psalms 1, and we'll go from there. And the week after that, it's going to be Psalms 2. The week after that, it's going to be Psalms 3. The week after that, it's going to be Psalms 4. Going to at least do it all the way through mission, all the way up to missions conference. And no, we're not going to ask our mission conference speaker to pick a psalm to use that. But it is something when there's people from our church that are filling the pulpit on a Wednesday night that we will ask them to speak on a specific psalm that's in the next thing. And I'm thinking in the least it's going to take us through that first set all the way through 41. Who knows? We might try to cover all five of them, but we'll see how the Lord leads. So tonight, the encouragement is a couple things. Apply it to your hearts. Number one, apply it to your hearts when it comes to praising the Lord. Truly do. I showed you that in the Psalms, just the scratch of the surface, we are supposed to bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Through our invitation time, take time to just praise Him. Not, God, I really need this. God, I really need. He does tell us, cast our cares upon Him. But there should be a time when you should praise Him. Number two, ask God to speak to your heart during the series. Maybe make a commitment if He's speaking to your heart. Hey, I'm going to read this chapter with the week up. So you know this next week, Psalms chapter number 1. You can go and you can be reading it. God speaks to us through His word. I am not feel challenged at all if you come up to me and say, hey, I read through this and God's been working on my heart here. Doesn't mean I'm going to change my sermon to match what God's been speaking to your heart about, obviously, because there's so many different things God can speak to in His word. But follow along. If the chapters are short, you know, take a verse out of it. Try memorizing the whole entire chapter. I mean, that's something that can be done. If it's less than 7 verses, a verse a day. I know some older people are like, I can't even remember my name. How am I going to remember that? But if you would take it and you would invest time in reading it so you can learn how to speak to God. So I already know how to speak to God. Do you really? He is one that is worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise. Well, God knows my heart. He does, but He's given you a songbook. And He's told us to bless the Lord with these psalms. And so do we. And then also, we learn how to speak to ourselves. Encourage ourselves. I'm encouraged by the psalms I know. I don't know enough. And I'm hoping to learn more as this time goes along. But then also, it tells us how to speak to others. I'm there sometimes. As a pastor, you're counted on to know what to say at the right time, at the right moment, exactly what's supposed to come right out. And you're just, doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, I'm going to have to pray about that. Sorry you're going through that. Let me pray with you. Now, there are times when the Spirit of God leads and gives you the exact thing to say. But you're not going to do that until Ephesians 5:18 causes 5:19 to happen. When you let the word of God dwell in you richly, that's when it happens in Colossians 3:16. So it's not just, oh, I'm going to know exactly what to say just because I memorized some verses. Sometimes some of our teenagers growing up, when we hadn't learned the verses, some people, they would learn 100 some verses at camp. Sometimes they would memorize a book of the Bible. But some of them today even wonder if there's a God anymore. I mean, they're not in church or away from church, and I'm not picking on them in any way, shape, or form. It's just you got to let the word of God get in you. It's more than just knowing. It's just having put it inside your heart. And sometimes the most arrogant people are the people that know the most about the Bible because they have a bunch of facts, but they do not let it affect them. Should we know the most about it? We should. We should study it. We should seek after it. But we should let it work in our hearts and lives. So tonight, praise the Lord. Spend some time during invitation. I'm only going to take a few minutes invitation. You would not be wrong by just telling him thankful. Opening up 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and reading that. Finding a spot in the book of Psalms that you know rejoice in. You can go to any of the Psalms 150 especially and just consider that if you want. And just spend some time just praising him. And then ask God to speak to your heart and to help you to be able to encourage yourself and also to encourage others on the way. Let's pray.